You're listening to a podcast on the Black Fur Network.
Hey, welcome to the After Horror Podcast with me, Paul.
Me, Mike.
Me, Jeff.
And me, Dan.
This week, we play Mike Bingo. We talk about 80s cartoons for far too long, and we're just trying to stretch that episode out as far as we possibly can.
Boys, what have we been up to?
Watching One Piece in my pants. Move on.
Still watching
episode 840 now.
Oh, I see you on 830.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
You're gradually reducing clothing as you get further.
Yeah.
How do you watch TV? One Piece?
I'm going to be fully nude.
Yeah, it's called One Piece, not One Piece at a time.
Or you're not supposed to sit there in one piece of clothing watching it.
Yes,
you are.
He's
just going to have a straw hat.
That's the instruction.
And that's it.
Yeah. For those of you who want to buy my special anime nudes calendar, July is just me in a straw hat. Yeah.
It's 95 pence.
I will pay you 95 pence.
That's how much it costs to post it.
To download some PDFs. That's literally it, lads. Just being sad and watching One Piece, basically. What about you?
Me renewing my passport and driving licence. Driving license expired, or was just about to expire, so I had to do that anyway. My passport had already done. So
you pay for that?
Yes.
Yeah, £21.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's actually pretty reasonable. I just had to do mine,
and it was really quick as well.
Yeah.
So if you lose renewing your passport's £21.
No, that's more expensive. 80 something.
Right.
But the driving license was pretty easy. New pictures, that sucked trying to get all that sorted out. But
oh God, yeah, you got to go down into a photo.
No.
Just go to the post office. They do it there.
Oh, you can do it online now.
It's a pain
literally
in the ass.
Just take a selfie.
So the passport would have allowed me to take a selfie. The driving license I had, because my passport had expired, I had no other further ID, so I had to go to a post office and they just did it there and then anyway. So
Do you still get pulled over because of that mustache you're growing now? Like Hitler mustache.
Single. Don't, because obviously we watched Shed 17 and there's a bit of a sex in there. For God's sake.
Cheer.
Not much, just 100% did the Lego Harry Potter Xbox games, and that was about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And now
on
the Marvel superheroes.
Yeah, I need to redo a Lego run, like all the games.
Although my child has got stick drift and it's fucking annoying. So I've got to buy another new controller.
Fair.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It's my third controller. I just play it that much.
You heavy handed.
Yes.
It's got them big old thumbs.
Yeah, it's called a thumb pad, not a palm pad.
them ropers thumbs. Mate, do you remember the N64 where there'd be mini games where you have to like rotate the controller and you give yourself fucking fourth degree burns because of that ratty little stick in the middle and you'd be like that and be like, fuck. Pokemon, there was a Pokemon Stadium game where you had to like rotate.
That's why I didn't play any of the Pokemon games.
You literally have to grunt and be like, fuck it, go! And you'd be like, bastard.
No, they don't.
I don't know.
Okay.
I've been to the cinema.
Whee! No.
No shit.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I saw, did I say I saw Imaginary?
Yeah. It's shit.
Okay, it is shit. Last night, I saw Immaculate.
Okay.
Which is the latest non-horror movie.
Right.
And it's all right. It's not bad. I was expecting The Nun and fucking whatever the fuck the other nun horror films are.
The Nun 2.
Yeah. That is terrible.
The Nun.
That's even worse than the first one.
They're okay.
They're not.
I don't think I've seen them, because I've heard bad things. Yeah.
They're all right. Expect a lot. They're okay.
They're studio horror films.
Yeah.
And I mean big studio horror films.
Do you know what? I've been doing a lot of Lego, like redoing my sets lately, so I might stick them on and have that on in the background.
Yeah. That's a good way to watch them.
I mean, you won't follow the story.
No.
I mean, even watching it, you won't.
Exactly, but at least I'm not sitting there frustrated because I feel like I'm losing time to it. So.
Have you seen The Curse of La Llorona?
No.
Oh, I'd say that's the worst one. Because if you've seen that one, they're better than that. That is easily the worst one.
I don't like a lot of studio horror films, if I'm honest.
Some of my favourite horror films, studio films, if you talk about like Scream and things like that. But what I think of as studio horror films are like the big studio ones. You know, like the ones with massive budgets and fuck all story.
Insidious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I like the first Insidious.
The Insidious, yeah. The first actually, one was all... Well, no.
Annabelle.
Until you realise it's Darth Maul and then it jumps the sharp way right
at the end.
Yeah.
Like...
Is it Annabelle?
Yeah. Annabelle Creation. Yeah. And
all of those films, except The Conjuring. The first two Conjurings are good.
They're based on a... Are they the ones that are based on true story?
Fucking loosely. But
the
yeah.
Warrens. Yeah. Very loosely.
I mean, when you say based on a true story, you mean a story that the Warrens made up?
Yeah.
Conjuring, the Cthulhuing, the Cthulhuing.
Yeah, the third one's fucking really? Awful.
You're stretching with that one.
You'd love to see me stretch.
I have seen you stretch.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing right sight.
Mm. Anyway, speaking of non-studio films, Mike...
We definitely watched a non-studio horror film, that's for sure.
So this week...
Pulsevid Studio.
That amused me.
This week, we technically gathered round, because we were watching
it
before we...
In a staggered way.
Yeah. And we watched the creepypasta internet masterwork that is Shed 17, created...
Pulsevid.
Loosely directed by Pulsevids. As far as we know, it had a budget of zero.
Whatever was down the sofa.
And according to the last working monetization YouTube algorithm from back when I was a YouTuber, it's made about £2,300.
Joe, I'll be happy with that. From that, I'll be happy with that.
Same. I would. I mean, that's all profit.
Yeah. I would if that wasn't over about 12 years. And then you go, oh, it's not livable.
But then at
YouTube
the same time,
you've
produced something that four monkeys are talking about on a podcast like many years later. So
absolutely.
Some would argue that cult popularity is almost better.
I would argue. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to surprise everyone, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
me too.
100%.
Yeah. Joe, I actually did as well.
It's fucking great.
It was way cleverer than I thought it was going to be.
I don't know how you couldn't enjoy this. Like, it's a perfect blend of fucking wholesome and fucking horrific.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be some fucking fever dream, horrible animation, piece of shit.
I mean, it was that.
It wasn't, no. It was a very well-crafted story.
Super well, yeah.
Yeah, I sent you guys the remastered version. Yes. The original version's a little bit more ropey. But yeah, Pulsevids did an incredible job of perfectly blending the... Obviously, like, you know... You know when it's the bits he's creating, but he's done a great job of trying to blend his art style and the original Thomas the Tank Engine art style. So for those of you who don't know, Shed 17 is a dark take, a mockumentary on the story of Thomas the Tank Engine.
And
what really happened. It follows in the same vein of the popular internet trope of, kids thing that you loved, but what if creepy? But to be honest, the original Thomas the Tank Engine, like the books, were pretty fucking creepy anyway.
They weren't.
No, they really were, Dan. Basically, the engines are like... So in the books, the engines are essentially slaves. And if they're deemed as not useful... by one man, the Fat Controller.
Oh, no. You're not allowed to call him the Fat Controller anymore. He's now Mr. Topham Hat.
Mr.
He got banned. He's not allowed to be called Fat anymore.
The Fat...
Cunt. if they're deemed not useful, then they're sent away. Some of them are sent to go and be recycled. Some of them are literally just bricked up for the rest of their life. And engines don't need to eat or sleep, so they're just face a wall for eternity.
I mean, kids don't think of it like that.
I know the kids don't, but I'm telling you, that's the reality of the situation.
But there was the famous episode where Henry got bricked up into a tunnel because he refused to come out of it.
Yeah.
I remember. So he's like, just fucked him off.
So, I don't know.
That's damn good parenting.
Let's talk about, you know, what was the last time that we saw a regime where one man dressed in black said, oh, if you're useful to the, let's call it empire, you get to live as slaves, but if you aren't useful to the empire, we'll kill you.
Kind of feels like our government right now.
Any totalitarian
Where
regime?
Where is Kate Middleton?
Richie Sunak.
I saw a tweet the other day that was like, if you're annoyed about people trying to find where the princess has gone missing, maybe you shouldn't have spent 8 years teaching primary school kids all about the wives of King Henry. Yeah, that's fair.
For the record, I don't give a shit where she is.
No, me neither.
She's not gone missing. She's just like out of the public eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember one time, right, I was dating someone and
how are we supposed to know what that means?
I mean, you absolutely
bit
know.
Loopy,
what that means.
Isn't it?
A bit gaga.
Right. Okay.
A bit of a silly goose. Let's put it that
there,
way.
There, I'm with you.
Bit psych ward. You know?
Yeah. A bit
fucking
grippy,
mental.
A bit grippy socks. Yeah, but like, it's really gauche for you to be like, my ex was mental, but like, she fucking was. She lived in Sheerness. Need I say any more? And it was quite an incestuous, like, friendship group. Like, everyone was always like, you if you weren't dating that one, you were dating that one, and she's dating him, and he's dating her, and he's dating him, and it, like, you know.
No.
And okay.
That's not how our friends
I'm sorry that you...
There was only one girl in it.
Poor girl. So yeah, one time with this massive round, I was like, I never want to see you again, don't talk to me ever again, and I stormed out of her house. And I went back to Canterbury because that's where I lived. And the following hour, my phone was blowing up because she had said to my friends at the time, she was like, he's gone off and I think he's going to kill himself and like all this stuff. And my friends were like, oh my God, like, fuck, I hope Mike's all right. And I was like, no, I just don't want anything to do with her. And that's how we're being about Kate Middleton. We're like, oh my God, I hope, is she all right? And I'm like, she just doesn't want to talk to you guys. Fuck off. Leave her alone.
I love how you managed to get, like, segue in a previous relationship story into Kate Middleton.
Like, every time I can slag him off, I will.
You're so good
I will.
At doing that.
It's like another show meme, that is.
Yeah, like trauma dumping.
Mike's ex-girlfriend.
I wish I could read to you, I deleted him, but a breakup text I had with a boy last year, who it basically culminated in him saying, I don't want to become another story. But in this breakup text was so...
Sorry, listen to the podcast.
This breakup text was so funny at the time, I was like, well, you are going to become a story. He might still listen to it, but we don't talk. He occasionally messaged me at 3 o'clock in the morning, being like, do you want a blowjob? And I'm like, no. No job.
Sure you do.
I mean, I do, just not from him.
Do you want a blowjob? Yes.
Anyway, so Shed 17 is the story of Thomas the Tank Engine as reimagined by the warped mind of Paul's Vids. Do you have like a chrono that we can go through? You don't have to. It's set like an ITV mockumentary.
Yeah, like one from the 80s, which makes it even better.
Yeah, like a Panorama?
Yeah,
was that ITV? Kind of was panorama, that was that BBC?
Yeah, it's got like your standard talking head.
So it basically starts out, you've got some German guy who used to work for Hitler.
Wilhelm Goetz.
Well done. He then ends up, I think, leaving Germany through fear or something. No.
So he pioneered some pretty risky experiments. He didn't pioneer biofusion. He was sort of the progenitor of almost that, but was doing some really shady stuff. So there's a popular rumor that Hitler and the Nazi regime were heavily invested in the occult.
They were.
Yes, they were, but the rumors are, and vampires.
Oh, no. Just artifacts,
and,
mostly.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like, there were, incidentally, during the war, there were covens of witches who would regularly gather on a Sunday and try to bring down Hitler using spells.
Didn't work.
Which is, well, eventually.
Or maybe it did.
Yeah, eventually.
Maybe it did. Maybe they compelled the army to just fight harder.
Well, it depends if you believe that he escaped or not.
Well, I do believe that. Wholeheartedly.
He escaped, but then he turned into a frog.
I think, actually, I think most people, like actual historians, believe that he did. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the evidence is
It's pretty vast. Strong. To...
Vast, yeah.
Yeah, just in the German countryside, there's this lily pad that's got four leaves. And there's an angry little frog sitting on there.
With a tash.
With a little
he kept that. Yeah.
Little tash.
Yeah, no one else can wear it. He might as well.
One froggy arm stuck in the air. And he doesn't like a lot of the other frogs. It's really strange.
Only the purple frogs. He's fine with all the green ones.
So he moves away because basically what he's doing is too fucked up for even the Nazi party. Moves away to Sodor.
Which is actually crazy if you look up the list of experiments they really did on people.
Yeah. It makes MKUltra look like fucking My Little Pony.
Fucking
Sodor. The Isle of Wight, which effectively Sodor was a prison camp for fucking Nazi escapists.
Yeah. Prisoners of war. Yeah. Who then after the war finds a local Sodorian lady and has a son. He's not... Hans Goetze, who goes away to university and starts proposing biofusion.
And that was when the penny dropped for me. I was like, oh, here we go. Right, I know where this is going.
So then we get, we understand that a lot of universities and academia are rejecting Hans for his ideas. And going, no, you can't fuse the human genome with mechanical engines. And Hans
was like, hold my beer, motherfucker.
Hold my petri dish.
Hold my peach schnapps.
And goes back to Sodor to see what he can do. Now, luckily for him, or unluckily for other people, there was a young boy by the name of Thomas who fucking loved trains. And had started.
Wasn't that the son?
That was the son of Hans. Yeah.
Was the son of Hans.
Yeah. That's the son of Hans.
Of course, it fucking is. Yes. Who loves trains, and he's always running around with his video camera. And then all of a sudden, one day,
just while we're on the subject of the video camera, I love that when they're showing the video camera bit, they've got the VCR,
the frame.
You know, strikes. You know,
yeah.
Called, like the fuzz a little bit.
Yes.
Oh, like the tracking.
Tracking. Where the tracking's out. Yeah.
Yeah, we should say the whole thing is modelled to be like it's a panorama investigation from the '80s. That someone's videotaped.
Yeah,
like from the.
It's brilliant in the fact that when they're doing like the Talking Heads parts, they use animated like. Almost South Park sort of animation, but their backgrounds are all real. Real life.
They're made to look like how the characters in Thomas the Tank Engine looked.
Yeah.
And it's almost pretty convincing, like, considering the technology that was being used at the time.
Some of them are like South Parky drawn.
Mm. Yeah, it did feel a bit like my first animation studio, but I quickly got past that.
It's got a charm. It's got a real charm to it.
That all seems to be part of it. It feels deliberate.
Yeah.
So then Thomas is killed in a horrific train accident.
I mean, the dumb cunt.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, he didn't hear that fucking train.
It's so funny that he goes...
He's talking about a train that's going to be late. And he's like, oh, the 11:46 should be here. Oh, it must be possibly late. I'm just going to stand in the middle of this track. Wait, what's that noise? I'm going to look in that direction the train doesn't come from. But I did like that he suddenly pans around and it's just a train.
Excellent jump scare. Like a great jump scare.
It was, yeah.
And then the arm goes flying.
And then the arm goes flying.
Looks like a besocked penis.
Okay.
Besocked.
Hi, we're the besocked penises.
A sock on.
A sock on?
Besocked.
Hey, I speak the Queen's proper English.
Oi, lads, I've got a right sock on.
Besocked.
So then we cut to a little bit later. Some research is done and the world is introduced to Thomas the Tank Engine.
Well, it's a year later.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Hang on, the bit I like about it leading up to it, because it's the big reveal,
yeah,
is the guy going on TV.
Keith.
Yeah, Keith. And every time he talks, he just vomits.
Because he remembers when he saw the engine first open its eyes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what.
I like the interviews with him leading up as well, just standing like almost on a fence.
Yeah. What an incredible reframing. Like there's a load of, as I said, there's a long and stymied history of, oh, you know, this kid show, one of it was creepy. And you're like, yeah, some of it's great, some of it's shite.
All those kids' shows were inherently fucking creepy.
Yeah.
All of them.
But this, seeing the engine open his eyes was so good. Because we've seen that. Like, it's an inherent part of a lot of our childhoods. I remember watching Thomas Tank Engine growing up. I've watched Thomas Tank Engine with, you know, kids I've looked after when I was younger. And, like, that's a big thing. And seeing it reframed in such a way was just a masterstroke. When everyone's like, oh my God, it's alive. You're like, oh fuck, yeah, they're alive. And so basically, young Thomas, as far as we are aware, has been biofused into a steam engine, a tank engine. And well, hey. And then people are like, oh, are they going to work the railways? And you're like, no, they're not going to work the railways. Because then we find out that more experiments have been done in other people because other people want to be biofused. Some of them are like train perverts.
People would do that.
Yeah.
It's Neuralink. No, is it? What's the head thing Elon's doing?
It's Neuralink, isn't it?
Neuralink, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You missed the whole takeover as well. So it starts out, I think Hans is running the railways or everything in Sodor, and then I was going to say the fat controller, but I can't. Yeah.
Sir Topham Hatt.
Like, he's on the platform talking to Keith, turns around, he's like, what the fuck are you doing on my platform? Get that video camera off. Absolute prick.
Yeah, I love the way it turned him out to be an absolute prick. In the show, he was actually a bit of a prick.
What I love about his office is that it's got trains running right up close to the desk so that, you know, trains can come in and he can go, you're not pulling your weight, fuck off. And then the train goes and does whatever it has to go and do.
I love the way he has to back out subserviently too.
Apart from that weird two-faced train.
Oh
yeah.
I loved even just the little nods to the other side of things. So like Bertie, I think the bus,
yeah,
broke down, and you could see a shot with Thomas in that. Like, and then Harold the helicopter.
That was my favourite part.
My God.
That is my favourite fucking part. That is so fucking dark.
Harold wanted to fly, but they were like, you can't fly.
Yeah, your engine doesn't work, they told him. Yeah. So he never tried.
Well, no, because there was the whole... So you had the steam engines, and they were able to work, but then they tried...
Just about.
Yeah, just. And then they tried using fueled engines, which is...
Mavis.
And that's when it went completely
Her insides
wrong.
Went on fire. Yeah. She got burnt out from the inside.
Oh, then just implodes.
Yeah.
But the helicopter's the best one, man.
Have you ever heard a train scream or something like it? Yeah. It's just so dark, man.
The helicopter's the best one because they're like, oh, no, you're not allowed to fly because your engine's broken. But then he just rebels one day and is like, fuck it,
No, you know why?
They have to airlift.
Because there's an accident.
So he starts up his propellers and he flies up a little way and then blood will start coming out of propellers, and the explanation is because his fucking vital organs are fused
to the rotor
permanently
blade.
Fused to the rotor, so when it starts spinning it pulls his internal organs up towards the rotor and literally pulls him apart from the inside.
Yeah. So not only does he die, all the survivors that were on that were inside him
plummet and crash,
get killed as well. Fucking brutal. And then the fat controller decides that don't worry, All the broken engines can go to crew, and crew was basically train Auschwitz, where you got reformatted and experimented on and scrapped for parts. And it was like, what was it? It was like, oh, crew was the only scrapyard that could also recycle biomatter.
Yeah, because it was one of the two largest on the island.
Fucking hell. So grim. Like, you really do end up gripped. By the end, and then who goes away to Pete?
Percy.
Percy goes away. So the whole reason that Harold has to get involved and try and save people is because Percy one day goes the wrong way and ends up looking at Shed 17. Now, Shed 17 is where Thomas came
out. No, that's
of.
Henry that does this.
Is it Henry?
It's Henry.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
Percy,
sorry.
Because they send... Is it Henry they send away up the ice roads?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. So Henry basically sees what's in Shed 17, and then he comes back to the station and he's been put next to Thomas, and he says to Thomas, whatever you do, never go to Shed 17. He has already said too much.
He sealed both their fates.
that is a line from the film. Yeah. Henry is sent on the Flying Kipper run, which was a very dangerous run.
Sabotage. Ice and snow. And up, did they say it's up past the...
it's the highest
altitude
point in Sodor.
Or something, out past the ice altitude or something.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It's actually a real Thomas the Tank Engine story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's actually a genuine story, which I kind of like.
There's loads of that.
Blurred that into it.
Yeah. I said to him earlier, I have no memory of watching Thomas the Tank Engine as a kid.
Barely do.
Very vague. It never really appealed to me. I was watching cartoons.
There was the 80s, man. They were fucking awesome cartoons.
Exactly.
Back then.
There was another
Tales.
Fucking Mask.
Train thing.
Visionaries.
Oh, what, recently?
Yes.
The Illusion.
No.
I was like, it's one of my kids watched.
What's that one with their, that was
Chuffington or something like that.
What are you guys going about?
We're just having two conversations.
80s cartoons.
Ulysses.
Ulysses.
Those floating
what
bodies.
What was the Jay and the Wheel
Jason
Warriors?
The Wheel Warriors.
Jason and the Wheel Warriors. Fucking excellent. It's a Star Wars, that was.
Yep.
Yeah. Was that the one with the robot horse?
No, that was Brave Star.
Yes.
Brave Star was excellent. I remember, I have a very vivid memory of one episode of Brave Star where there was this like red crystal drug going around and the kids were fucking absorbed through their palms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Brave Star had to stop it.
I wonder how you turned out the way you did.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
There was a show when I was a kid and it wasn't a recent show. It was kind of along the same as like Pugwash, but all I remember is that the train went
and the rain goes
no,
the thunder goes.
I'm gonna have to try and find it now. Fucking
Captain, I love yourself. I love that urban myth about Captain Pugwash with the names, which were not the names at all.
No, completely untrue.
The same Magic Roundabout, that was completely untrue, wasn't
it? Well, not completely untrue. Have you ever seen it? Because it was fucked up.
Dylan was a stoner. No way, two ways about it.
Do you know who Jasper Carrot is?
The comedian.
Yeah, comedian. So if you listen to his old bit about the Magic Roundabout, he does an entire script and it's just fucking funny as hell. Yeah. Well, it was back then. I don't know. I ain't listened to it. 40 years.
Yeah, where are we going on your recommendations then?
No, I'd put it on there because the insurance claim forms thing is still funny. This is out fairly recently.
One of my favourite jokes in it, which was such a throwaway line, was the islander that can only say the name of the island.
Sodor. I also liked the the nods to like the ITV news logo, LWT and shit like that. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, that's my childhood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. I miss those old idents. When you had to be there. If you wanted to watch a TV program, you had to be at a certain place at a certain time.
Those idents were there, and like it was almost the mark.
The call to arms.
Yeah. The mark of the next program that you was excited to watch. Yep. It's like, I can't wait for whatever it is.
Do you like murder? So do we. Crimes Like These is a UK-based true crime podcast with me, SJ, and my fellow co-hosts, Paul and Sam. Here's a preview of what to expect.
Collectively labelled as a deviant sociopath. That's
like some sort. That's something from some sort of Marvel film. Like,
like an evil villain.
Yeah, just.
They always do, though, don't they? They always look normal.
No, not always. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't look normal.
Sorry, Jeffrey D. She's gonna get defensive now. We need to watch out.
Check us out on Twitter at CrimesLike and Instagram at CrimesLikeThese. You can listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
But watch this. Did you? All the time I was watching it, going, I really want them to make a budget version of this.
Oh, like, Mike told me there's a sequel to this.
Yeah. It's called Project G1. It's on YouTube. It's available. It's just more fucked up.
Yeah.
I'll be checking that out tomorrow.
But no, you know what I mean? Can you imagine doing this as a genuine full budget?
Either the engine.
I don't think it would.
Of course it's either the engine.
I don't think it would be as good, you know.
I think
fact that it's amateur, I think, really appeals. Like, it just adds something to it. Because I think if this had a bigger budget, it would just be a bit too... They'd try too much.
Too obvious,
and like, it would lose some of its humour in a way because it is darkly humorous.
Like. Yeah.
Fucking great. So anyway, Percy then goes on the Flying Kipper run and he's been doing it for a week and then all of a sudden something terrible happens. A railway spike has moved the track slightly asunder and it sends Percy...
No, he stabs it in it so the track can't move across.
I know that. I was going to reveal that.
like the documentary does. I was going to say this. Yeah, this random railway spike just ended up there. Yeah.
It's crazy. And then we find out, yes, it is Sir Topham Hatt, the fat cunt. Roll.
Oh, we don't have to bleep it out like you did.
Unalived.
Oh, no. What was it? What was the term I heard the other day? Self-terminated. Mm. And I was like, we're robots now?
Yeah.
Subject has self-terminated.
For grown adults, we're not allowed to hear these words.
I mean, self-terminated is worse.
Actually, I quite like that.
I like it, but it's definitely more visceral.
At least it makes sense. Unalived is just stupid.
No, that is dumb. It's not even a word.
It almost implies there's a you can go back and forth. You know?
Yeah. Today I'm going to be unalived. Tomorrow?
Yeah. That's uncooked chicken. But I can do something about that.
You can make it, yeah.
So I can cook it. So if you're unalived, surely you can be alived.
Well, that kind of is. You are alived and then you become unalived.
Oh, no. I don't believe it works that way.
I have become unalived. Anyway, so...
Speaking of unalived.
Speaking of unalived. We then, Thomas then, under his own steam, it takes him 3 hours to travel all the way to Shed 17. He goes in and finds, shock reveal, that he is not him. Thomas is in fact a clone. One of many failed clones. Where we see, this is probably, as far as like special effects go, this is probably this is great, but like the weakest part of the film, where you can see, if you know much about animation, assets are like pre-rendered things.
Yeah.
And he's obviously taken a bunch of assets and like kind of glued them all together. And there's nothing wrong with that, but this is where I was like, taken the most out, which is a shame. But then, so Thomas enters Shed 17. He sees a skeleton with some train parts on it. He sees a bunch of boxes full of organs and things. And he suddenly realizes that he's not the first Thomas. He's the result of many hours of failed and botched experiments. And Shed 17 is like the shed of shame, where inside a vat is a half-finished failed experiment, maybe the new Thomas, we don't know, bit of an open ender.
I think it's the original.
I think it's the original Thomas.
And then in the shock of that, Thomas, we finally see, it's been alluded to throughout that the reason why a lot of these locomotives were struggling to like work the railways is because when the biofusion process happens, we don't know how much of the organs have tangled and mixed with the engine, so you can't change parts out, and you don't know,
because they don't know how much is biological matter and how much is engine.
And we see Thomas break free of his shell, revealing, if you've played Bloodborne, it basically looks like the One Reborn.
I love the shape of his skull. In the shape of the disc on the front of the
thing. Mess of flesh and bone contorted into the shape of a locomotive. He springs forth, all like giving birth to himself, and then tears off the faceplate to reveal a skull, a flat skull, which screams in agony because it wonders what it is.
Bearing in mind, viewers, we are selling it here. Like, when you watch it, it does look like it was done on MS Paint.
Yeah, it does.
But that's all part of its appeal.
I like that it looked different to the rest of it.
It looked
a lot more... I know you said that it's all taken from other bits, but it looked more expensive animation than the rest of it, if you get what I mean.
I could have done with it spending 30 less seconds. Do you know what I mean? The biggest problem in horror films is when you show the monster too much.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
I just needed Thomas sloughing off his locomotive body, going, rah, and then ripping his face. That's all we needed. There's an extra 30 seconds. It doesn't need to be there, of different angles and screams.
I don't know. I like the long scream. And it's just the agony and the pain.
There's something about that, like the pool bit in It Follows, where that fucking, the score is super, super loud, but it's just one deep note. And it's like, it gets to a point where it's
uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, yeah,
and that's what I had with this. I like the fact that it was just screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming.
Yeah,
it does invoke anxiety.
It does, yeah. That's what I like. There's a bit in that film I saw last night, Immaculate, at the end, where this girl's just, this nun, she's just screaming and the camera's close on her face and she's just covered in blood, just screaming for like a minute, and it's uncomfortable. It's horrible. Good ending, though.
Then we're told that a year later, biofusion is banned in the UK. But we also find out that in Russia and China, it's basically commonplace at this point. And then
it's,
we get
in China, it's compulsory for prisoners.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we get what one might say is racially insensitive.
Is this the speed, the bullet train?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mixing up their Asians massively.
Yeah. An Asian man
cattle
prods a train. And the train then Wilhelm screams.
I love that bit.
But it's also like chanting, you won't be late. You will
right. Yeah.
You will be on time. You will be this, yeah.
Yeah. So ignoring that bit, fantastic, fantastic bit of internet weird.
Yeah, it kind of put me in mind of sort of the David Fervish kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like Burnt Toast Man.
I'd love to do all of Salad Fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually watch after the credits?
The Rosie and Jim.
Yes.
No, after the credits.
Oh, no.
There's the Costa Concordia on its side, and as it pans in, it goes under the water, and then it goes up to a face that's just screaming.
Oh, my God.
Because the boat's like, he's just under the water going, ah!
Oh, my God. No, I didn't see that. So, thoughts, lads?
Yeah, it's great. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
It's one of those ones really I was like, after I finished watching it again, it was like, oh, God, what did I just watch? But there today, you're thinking about it, I'm like, actually, do you know what? I like it. Yeah.
Sometimes talking about a film can change your opinion on it.
Yeah,
100%.
About 10 minutes in, I was like, this is way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, it held me better than I thought it would. I will say that. Well, when we pulled it out last week, I went home and I went, oh, God. My missus was like, what have you got to watch? I went, and I just put on this first couple of minutes of it.
Right.
I went, this is what I've got to bloody watch. And she was like, oh, my God, what have you got to watch? But yeah, once I was, 10, 15 minutes in, I'm like, nah, I'm in for this.
Oh, right, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like even the music in the opening, like the dark
tone. Oh, the dark tone.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the Five on It theme from
Mouse.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I do like it when they take a tune and just slow it down and just...
And like you had the happy scene and then the dark, like rainy equivalent and stuff like that. The opening, I was just like... I thought it was going to be some weird, wacky, almost Salad Fingers, horrible, nasty piece of shit.
Right, right.
And it was a well-crafted, well-thought-through,
passion.
Brilliantly there's, animated. But
there's passion in it.
Exactly, I can see that.
I think it's what it ties into. It's like it's something from our childhood, so you got the nostalgia, but it's for me now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like taking my childhood but giving it to me as an adult and just mixing the two really nicely. Yeah.
There's nothing better than contrast. Like, you've got you've got almost wholesome and fucking demented.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love that combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, when you watch it as a kid, it's innocent. But when you think of it as an adult, it's a bit dark. And this does both of them. You know, it says, it was innocent, but now look at the darkness of it. Yeah.
100%. Yeah, yeah. So get it watched.
Yeah.
I'm going to say have a go. Because I loved it.
Yeah.
But... it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Like, there's definitely going to be people that are like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, anybody like 10 years younger than us.
Yeah.
I mean,
have a go because it's only half an hour. Like, it's 36 minutes. It's,
Oh, yeah, it's done before you realise, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tossing between get it watched and have a go. Like, your points are valid. Yeah.
I mean, my personal really thing, this is not something I would recommend to people.
Like, no, that's true.
So the vast majority of people, I wouldn't recommend this.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even bother.
Have a go then. Unless you've got a history with Thomas the Tank Engine, you won't fully appreciate
it. Even then, you've got to have a certain kind of sense of humour, mentality. Yeah. This is not going to be everyone's cup of tea. Like,
and if it's not your cup of tea, we're probably not friends.
Yeah. Oh, but the one thing I did find really, really impressive about this, did you see the IMDb score rating for this?
Seven.
Seven. Yeah.
Seven. It's a seven on IMDb.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, there's fuck all information about this.
Yeah.
And I even went on, there's an official Shed 17 wiki, which is not even Wikipedia. It's a literal, like, entity all by itself. And it's fucking vast, man. It's got bios of every character, like, entire histories. It's got, background shit. And like, but it's so much of it.
The human race's mind is scary.
It really is, yeah. And like, there's, you know, the thing down the bottom of websites, it's got careers. So you can get a career in Shed 17.
Well, that's really interesting you should say that, because when I was doing some research, I found a company that was formed on the 13th of April, 2017. The registered office address, I'm going to dox them, they're a public registered company. It's 9 Finchdale Close, Redcar, England. TS10, 2SY. It's an active company. Limited, company type is a private limited company. And its accounts are fully up to date. And that account is called Shed 17 Limited.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The nature of the business
biofusion
is public houses and bars. But I think
fused with people.
But I think if you anagram that, it would be bio. Ooh. So fucking think about that. And what you can also think about is the absolute cunts that should step on train tracks that live in the Amazon jungle. The one time I should have brought the train thing. Now, lads, usually we read out a couple. Today, I am reading out one. One that was written by Galactic Satoshi on the 2nd of December 2023. He gave it 1 star. He said, I hate this film, so like, I'm a still wee wee woo woo. Don't know what that means.
What? You don't know what that means?
Strap the fuck in. I first saw this and the other sequel of this Thomas the Tank Engine video during lockdown of 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the ending of Ben Drowned Arge finale, which I have been watching as well as this. Don't know what that means. I have to say, what did I watch? I remember watching Thomas the Tank Engine from when I was 4 or 5 years old. Seeing this as an 18-year-old, I'm so confused and fascinated at the same time. I didn't know Thomas the Tank Engine had a fandom. Like most pop culture today, every fandom behind it and a franchise. So I knew this video from a social media influencer called Luigi Kid Rolls Eyes. And I watched the first movie of this on YouTube. Well, I do have to say, it was okay. I'm guessing and hinting that most people in this fandom either have special ed, I'm not being rude or anything, but from someone who has special needs myself, and I went to school and a college that has a lot of special needs adults and children who are like the people in this fandom, and I know there's lots of unique humans with special needs. We are all different, but it's no wonder why. There's teens and adults who are into playing with Thomas the Tank Engine figures and liking this as well on social media. I am just saying, like, because I've seen adults and teens playing with children's toy on YouTube about this, and my conclusion is that there's a 50-50% chance that the fandom has people with intellectual disabilities. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying. Also, I'm guessing Paul's Vid, the guy who made these two videos, I'm not being rude, but it looks like he also has some learning difficulties. Because I've seen things that question the behaviour of this fandom. Because an outsider like me, or anyone else you know that comes across a fandom that might be different or strange, we tend to often come up with conclusions, really. Behaviour, I mean what I just said, minutes ago. Anyways, to the plot of this whole story. I know this is supposed to be dark and weird part of a fandom, like My Little Pony, etc. But like, this is so bizarre. To me, fandoms are just bizarre and strange. And some fandoms, I do think, should be banned off the internet for good. But this fandom is just bizarre. A fandom made off of a British TV kids show. Well, I will just make some criticism on this Shed 17 video. Also, big plot holes too. And what does this all mean? One question. How can scientists who biofuse humans into tank engines clone a whole human anatomy from the humans who wanted to be turned into engines, except for Thomas, and fit their cloned anatomied bodies into engines? Don't understand that. Second, how can you clone someone who died a train like Thomas? I know this is a story, but like Paul's vids could have gone into detail more about how the scientist closed Thomas.
My brain hurts.
Yeah, why are you reading
I'm gonna keep going, but please don't. But this is I'm just gonna get to the conclusion. I have used 8 different thumb scrolls and we're still there.
You was gonna read all of that out.
Well, that's why we're only gonna have one. Yeah.
That review's longer than the fucking film.
So even written a novel about it.
Even at the end, Shed 17, when the Eastern Asian guy spoke Cantonese or something, it's just Paul's voice doing the language, and it's just cringe, really bad. He said things were bad in the movie and he didn't like it, but for a fandom which is dedicated to a children's show, which is the dark part of the fandom, and he still uploads the 2 videos when he said I didn't like it, it's his behind the scenes videos. This has no stars. Just no stars. All right, story. What and how this is all explained. 2 out of 8 people found this helpful.
Fuck me. My brain hurts.
Yeah.
What a stupid review.
None of that made fucking sense.
None of it made fucking sense. People just are allowed on the internet. I admittedly didn't watch the behind the scenes stuff of Shed 17, and maybe I should have in preparation for this, but they were like 3 hours long, and I was like, but but the movie's only 36 minutes. And I just thought it'd be a lovely bit of fun for you lads. And it turned out it was.
Yeah, definitely was.
Recommendations?
Do you want to string us out a bit? Because we've only been recording for 49 minutes.
Hey, if we have a shorter episode, we have a shorter episode. That's okay.
Oh, that would annoy me if I got a shorter episode or something.
For free?
Yeah. If one of my favourite podcasts put out a 30-minute episode, I'll be furious.
How often do you listen to this?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Oh, never.
It's not your favourite.
Oh, wait, I did listen to it the other day.
It's not your favourite then.
Sorry. Well, I listen to 30 minutes.
We haven't got to worry about losing you.
It's all right. It's fine.
I was here. I know what happened.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't think stringing it out just to make content is a great idea.
We used to like try and string it out for longer than half an hour, and then we managed to get it up to an hour, and then somehow at 1.2 hours. It's like, actually, do you know what? Under an hour is probably all right.
Overall, let's go.
If we leave this in, it's padded.
Right.
So.
Right. If you don't agree, you can comment below or send us a message.
I tried to get you more listeners. Sorry.
Send us a message on Instagram at After Horror Pod. After Horror Podcast? After Horror Pod?
On what?
Don't know.
Instagram.
You read it at the end of the episode every time.
If you listen to this, the chances are that you
found
us.
But on the off chance they don't, you know, give us a follow. Occasionally
we post every 3 weeks.
Fucking, I tell you what, we'll upload a picture right now, and then you'll know when this was recorded. And go, fuck me, they don't really leave a lot of time. No, we didn't. It was late.
Not this one. We didn't. No.
Good. I'll upload that immediately.
All right. Anyone got your Rex?
Got a quarter of the weekend. I noticed they started repeating. It's an old documentary, but it's called Life After People.
I remember that.
There's no way if you go find it. It basically is what would happen to the world if the world woke up tomorrow and all humans had just disappeared overnight.
I love that your recommendations have got a theme the last 2 episodes.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself.
I'm noticing the theme as well.
Yeah. I'm down for that. Let's get rid of all the people.
But yeah, it's basically like they go through different subjects each week, like what would happen to all the animal kingdom, what would happen to all the food.
The plane
would thrive. Like.
Yeah. But yeah, it goes like through different increments. They sort of look back at things that have already happened, like abandoned military bases from like World War II. So it's like, oh, well, this is what would happen after 60 years. This
Everything just grow over.
Yeah.
Just hide.
But yeah, but it's how long it takes, what would, yeah.
Hide the humans ever existed.
Yeah, I mean, say we got nuked, it would take hundreds of years, thousands probably.
Yeah, but that's radiation.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they go into sort of the things like that, you know, sort of the old military, one of them was like Air Force One, and like what would happen to that, like eventually all the anti-aircraft stuff would just suddenly fire off and set fire to everything around
it.
And
do you know Air Force One's not a specific aeroplane?
No, it's whoever,
it's whatever plane the president's on.
Yeah, whatever
plane.
I learned that recently.
It's whatever plane is wearing the really nice shoes.
I only know that because of Air Force One, the movie, where he gets onto the other plane and goes, we need to redo our designation to Air Force One.
That's a fucking good film.
That is a brilliant film.
I have a page called Tom Bates, also known as Nigel and Marmalade. They're just really funny, silly little videos about a little wizard and a dog. I think you'll enjoy it. If you've got a silly sense of humour, you'll enjoy it. Nigel and Marmalade.
Dan?
I got nothing.
You've been playing some Lego. What's been your favourite Lego?
All of it.
Dan recommends Hogwarts.
You're not an 8-year-old at the zoo.
No, well, I'm doing the creator sets at the moment, so okay. I'd finished the Corvette.
Yeah,
That was good. But yeah, it's difficult to say a specific build or anything like that, because some people just like getting bricks and building whatever they want. Other people like sticking to the manual like me. So
mad men.
Yeah, you're the crazy fools.
Yeah, I'm not a manual guy.
Anyone who like puts all their Lego into one big basket. And, like,
that was me as a kid, man.
Well, it was me as
a kid. I was off the rails.
Crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, I was just down in Jack Daniels and just mixing Lego up in a basket.
How did we make it to Friends?
Fuck knows. Maybe that's why.
He was making shot glasses out of Lego. That's what it was. Filling it with Jack and just...
You're organised. I am a walking disaster.
I'm not organised.
Not me either.
Actually, that's something I found out today. These recommendations do actually have an influence.
On who? Because
they end at work, basically.
Give us some fucking money, then.
Oh, our listener. Brilliant.
Yeah, our listener. Yeah, no, because she said, like, she basically started reading Stephen King because of you. She likes Lego anyway, because of you. Well, not because of you, but she likes it anyway. And what's that band you recommend? Green Lung, or whatever it was?
What I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, she now started listening to
them. Fuck yeah, you're a good egg and I love you. Good job.
Oh, yeah, she's not allowed to be around you. She said that herself, because she probably would jump you.
Oh.
Well...
Wait, she wants to fight Mike.
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to watch
that. We can set that up.
Whoa. Fight or
is she single? Because we know Mike. Just
very much
with
single.
Leanne, you might be lucky.
Leanne, hit me up on Insta.
Hit him up.
Like, she's gonna kill me when she hears this episode.
Hang on, lads, shut up. Hey, Leanne, mate, hit me up on Insta. Let's talk about it. Like, oh, you turning me up?
Yep.
Oh yeah. Sick. Thank you.
And she's a big Glitwolf fan as well.
Oh my god. Wow, I'm blushing.
He is. Can I do my recommendation?
No. Oh, is yours going to get you laid?
Thanks,
no.
Lad.
Sit down.
Well, it might. Who knows, right? Under the Banner of Heaven, which is on ITVX.
Okay.
It's like True Detective Light, but it stars who's Spider-Man?
Peter Parker.
The one after Maguire.
Andrew Garfield.
It stars Andrew Garfield. There's a few other people in it. It's fucking good.
He's a weird egg, but I like him.
Yeah, he's a weird egg. Yeah. Good American accent.
Sick as a brick. Time for you to pick a film. I'm not allowed to pick, after last week's fiasco, even though it actually turned out all right, I'm not allowed to pick the film because I keep picking my films, and it's completely random.
Of course it is.
It's fucking...
if Dan... Check them, as Mike's got little dots. The
if Dan picks his own film, we riot. And it is...
It's one of mine.
Fix. Fucking fix. If it's The Matrix, you can go fuck yourself.
No, we are watching Cloverfield.
Oh,
shit!
Yeah, boy.
Fuck yes.
Great film.
Exciting.
Still need to watch the other two of those.
No, you don't.
You haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane.
10 Cloverfield Lane is fucking incredible.
Fucking hell, get that watch. Paradox, take it or leave it.
Paradox is almost funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, it's a good watch. But
it's so funny that you're like, oh, what the fuck? It's got nothing to do with it at the end. You go, oh, all right.
Well, yeah. That's exactly the same as 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Well, no, because the reason they're in there is because of...
No, they never actually spoke the specific reason.
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't say there's been an alien invasion.
They think it's biochemical or some sort of...
So they don't know the truth. So you're thinking it's some sort of invasion, not an alien invasion. You only find that at the end when she goes out. And it comes
John Goodman up. Makes me sad in that movie. He's so lovely. Not in this movie. What? John Goodman isn't nice. Spoilers. I'm so sorry. It's in the fucking trailer. What are you doing with that? He's a witch! Burn the witch! Dan is levitating a fucking pot of film recommendations.
Do the table next.
So until next time, the real horror is Dan's emerging occult powers. if he gets a Hitler tash, then it's a reincarnation and we're going to need to...
I deliberately tried to make
this
sure...
This is why you're getting stronger. Because the minute you're too buff, you're going to really show how Hitler you are, and we won't be able to stop you because you'll be too strong.
There's never too
buff. Dan, stop listening at too buff.
Dan's going to go home and be like, Mike said I was too buff.
No, he's like, I don't comprehend.
You said when I get too buff, so now I've still got to keep going. God fucking damn it.
Sorry, mate.
Like, you filled me with so much confidence when I walked out last episode.
Dude, like, I started going to the gym.
When he grabbed your dick and went, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I started going to the gym in 2021 and I was like, okay, I'm going to lose a bit of weight and like feel good about myself. And I've just had body dysmorphia for 3 years.
That's it.
Just being like, I'll never be good enough.
No, and it will never go away.
Yeah, sick. Good. That's the real horror. the real horror is body dysmorphia. Until next time, he's been Paul.
He's been Dan.
He's been Chia.
And he's been Mike.
Goodbye.
See you.
Bye.
Hello, you beautiful little chocolate hams. It is the one and only Mike here, from the After Horror podcast. I would really bloody like it if you wrote a little review on iTunes or anywhere where you could write a review.
Wait, this is going on the end of every podcast and this is what you've chosen to do.
Yeah. Can I continue?
Yeah.
You can write it on the side of a bathroom wall if you wanted to, just wherever people will read it. And on that note, you could tell your friends. All five of your friends will probably want to hear the wonderful stylings of four idiots as they watch horror films and do their best to talk about it, but mostly get sidetracked. You could also go on our social medias at After Horror Podcast or on Twitter at After Horror. And if you're feeling particularly hunty, you could go to our email at afterhorrorpod@outlook.com. See you later, and keep wearing that sweater. It's really working for you.
There you go.